Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For those of you who brave the cold and foggy weather of that early Easter sunrise service, or maybe you're just an early bird and you like the earlier worship service, you heard my sermon titled, Seeing is Believing, or is it? In that sermon, we discussed the first 18 verses of John chapter 20 and the early visitors to the tomb on that first Easter morning. Why is it that they saw an empty tomb and a misplaced or stolen body, and not an empty tomb and a resurrected Lord? Is it that our eyes sometimes deceive us? Is it because we don't see what we're not expecting to find? Or is it only through faith that we believe what we see? Seeing is believing. Or is believing seeing? What I didn't mention in that sermon is that seeing is believing is not the whole phrase. It's not the complete quote. This popular but incomplete saying is from an English historian and churchman named Thomas Fuller, who lived during the 17th century. The whole expression is this: seeing is believing, but feeling is the truth. Seeing is believing, but feeling is the truth. I have an inkling that St. Thomas, from the gospel reading for today, would have agreed with Reverend Fuller. Today's gospel reading could really be considered as the second part of the Easter narrative as it starts on Easter evening. The Easter morning story is probably still pretty fresh in your minds, but let's recap what has happened so far. Mary gets up early that first Sunday morning and heads to the tomb to continue the process of anointing Jesus' body with spices as part of the burial process. She gets to the tomb and sees the stone rolled away, so she runs back and tells the other disciples, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter and the other disciple, John, run to the tomb to investigate. John beats Peter to the tomb, but only looks inside, seeing the body clothes folded neatly in the grave. But when Peter gets there, the ever bold one goes right into the tomb and sees the body cloths folded and the face cloth folded, lying there, but doesn't comprehend what has happened. John follows Peter in, looks around, and believes. Seeing is believing. Or is it? The two disciples return home, but Mary stays, standing there weeping. She looks into the tomb and sees two angels who ask her why she is crying. She repeats to them the same thing she tells the disciples, that someone has taken Jesus and she doesn't know where they have laid him. At that same moment, Jesus appears behind her and asks her too why she is crying. Not recognizing him and thinking that he must be the gardener, says to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid them, and I will take him away." Jesus then says to her, "Mary," and her eyes were opened, and she recognized him as her risen Savior. And at his direction, goes and tells the other disciples all that she has seen. This is where the gospel lesson for today picks up. The disciples are gathered together that evening behind locked doors, hiding, afraid of the Jews. Jesus appears, calming the fears of those present with the words, "Peace be with you." He shows them his hand and his side, proving his credibility with his crucifixion scars and pierced body. In verse 24, we find that the disciple Thomas was the only one missing of the 11 disciples. Doubting Thomas is what we call him because of his words, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. This is where I believe that Doubting Thomas and Reverend Thomas Fuller are kindred spirits. Not only do they share the same first name, but they share the same philosophy. Seeing is believing, but feeling is the truth. But I wouldn't be too hard on them. It seems that doubt comes naturally to the sinful human mind. Just take a look at any of the great people throughout biblical history, and I think you'll find they all have had their doubts. But I think we expect more from the disciples. The disciples were there for all of it, the teachings, the miracles. But we might understand stopping short at raising yourself from the dead. That hadn't been done before. No one has ever raised themselves from the dead. And there was no doubt that Jesus was dead. He was hung on the cross until he died. The centurion made sure of it, sticking a spear in his side. Jesus was laid in a tomb, no doubt about it. The stone was placed in front of the opening, guards posted. Though no one has ever raised themselves from the grave, they just wanted to make sure. Just like Thomas wanted to make sure. I think we can understand Thomas thinking that seeing is believing, but our eyes can be deceived. I just want to make sure. I need to feel something. I need to touch him. That's all Thomas was saying. That's all any of us is saying. But what is it that we want to feel? What is it that we want to touch? The other day I was watching coverage of the fire at Notre Dame. The news agency was showing archival footage of one of the relics at Notre Dame, the crown of thorns. This crown of thorns was supposedly on Christ's head during the crucifixion. It was encased in a clear plastic tube or something, so it was protected from decay and from contamination. And the footage showed people in acts of veneration standing in line and kissing the crown. To put the best construction on it, I found it to be amusing. Why? Because we have Christ's very own body and blood here every Sunday, which is way better than kissing some old relic behind glass. Today you can travel a few feet to the communion rail and see, feel, and taste the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, instead of traveling 4,300 miles to Notre Dame in Paris, France, and kiss the plastic covering over some thorns that might or might not have survived 2,000 years since the crucifixion of Christ. But which one of these has power? The very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or some thorns? Which one of these forgives sins? Which one of these gives eternal life? Which one of these is commanded by Christ himself to be done in remembrance of me? 8 days later, the disciples are gathered together behind locked doors. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." Knowing Thomas's remark from the week before, Jesus says, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Upon seeing the risen Lord, Thomas can only exclaim his confession, "My Lord and my God." Interestingly, Scripture never says that Thomas touches him. After such a bold declaration by Thomas the week before as to the condition of his belief, that he would have to see and feel Jesus, we are only told his confession. In fact, in verse 29, we read that Jesus says, or asked Thomas if he believes because he has seen him, not because he has seen and touched him. I find this interesting. This overconfident statement of Thomas means so little now. Maybe like Mary, Thomas's shaken faith just needed to hear his Savior's voice, the voice of a shepherd calling him to faith in a risen Lord. And maybe this is the point anyway. Maybe this is something we can learn from Doubting Thomas and the Reverend Thomas Fuller. Pardon me. What has happened here is much more bigger than eyes and sight, hands and feeling. Every Sunday we come to the empty tomb, weighed down by the week's burdens, by our sins, by the sins of others. Our faith may be shaken. With Mary, Peter, and John, our eyes may be deceived. With Thomas, we may have made some rash statements. Confess those very things to God the Father and hear his words to you. I forgive you all your sins. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Strengthen in the faith, hear your risen Savior calling you as a shepherd calls the name of a sheep of his fold. How can God die? How can a man dead 3 days rise again? How can less than ordinary bread and wine be Christ's body and blood? And why do we get to be a part of any of this? It is a mystery, accepted and received through faith, which is a gift and work of the Holy Spirit, because of the love that God has for us. This is Easter, Pentecost, Advent, Christmas, Lent, Good Friday, the whole church year, but especially Easter. God showing his love for us, the gift of his Son. The tomb is empty. There is no need to doubt. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And to God be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, giver and perfecter of our faith, we thank and praise you for continuing among us the preaching of your gospel for our instruction and edification. Send your blessing upon your word, which has been spoken to us. And by your Holy Spirit, increase our saving knowledge of you, that day by day we may be strengthened in the divine truth and remain steadfast in your grace. Give us strength to fight the good fight, and by faith to overcome all the temptations of Satan, the flesh, and the world, so that we may finally receive the salvation of our souls. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.